there it hung on the way to the most holy place. It seemed like a lasting institution, as if it would hang there forever. It hung there for two reasons, to keep people out and to keep God in. Then Jesus breathed his last, and simultaneously the veil was torn in two. It was as if a giant pair of unseen hands reached down and tore it from top to bottom. Up to that point, the veil had served its purpose well, twofold purpose. Now all that was different, changed in a moment, and the change was connected with Jesus' cross work. Through this massive event, we have something shared with us in one short verse, something that speaks volumes unto the ages. It tells us that we can know the heart of Almighty God. It tells us that God has opened up the way to himself for all. It tells us that humanity can have hope both now and forever. I'm speaking about Mark 15:38. And this is one of those things that I've wanted to do for a long time at this particular time of the year. I never get to speak about the events of Good Friday. And this is one of those that took place on that day. Usually I only get to speak about Easter and not Good Friday. But I think Good Friday is equally important. They, in fact, go together. But Mark 15:38 says, let me begin with verse 37, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Well, the secret's out. Once the veil is torn, God's heart is revealed to everyone. The previous mysterious nature surrounding worship of God is torn away. Prior to this, the Jews worshipped whatever being was behind the veil. They knew not. Secrecy increased as one drew closer to that sacred and holy spot where God was located. As secrecy increased, so did darkness increase on the way in to meet with God. There were no windows. One actually went from sunlight to candlelight on the way in. The holy place and the most holy place were in the sanctuary. In the holy place was the golden candlestick or great menorah, but the veil kept out even that small amount of light in the Holy of Holies. Upon Jesus' death, sunshine flooded in, ending all the mystery. In spite of this, many people remained in the dark about God, needlessly, and his heart toward them. Something is behind all we see. Everything that we know about God is general revelation according to Romans 1:18 and following. Needlessly, however, they wonder what God is like. People often will express it as, "Does he care for me?" And they come up against an impenetrable wall with nothing but darkness behind it. Even many who call themselves Christians find themselves in the dark about God. I know not why, but we know so much about him, and yet we know so little. The reason is that they seem satisfied to get so much of their information about God secondhand. Rather than investigate, they remain happy that they know enough. In this, they are like the man who would not try a farmer's cider, thinking it would be sour. He'd eaten the apples before from the trees near the road, and they were sour. He finally told the farmer that this was the reason why he had not tried the cider before, making the farmer laugh, of course. The farmer related that he had planted those trees out there to fool the local boys who stole his apples. Now, there's no reason for anyone to be in the dark about God. They never get to where the good apples are, so to speak, because those are the ones that are sour that are planted to ward off those who are not interested, who only want information and nothing more. But human knowledge is not enough. We need revelation or special uncovering that comes from God, like God provided when the veil was torn in two. The cross work of Jesus reveals, as only God can, who is behind the veil. The veil can only be torn away by God. He alone initiates and consummates this. Matthew 27:51 reveals that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. In other words, Jesus' death was more than just an example of mere rhetoric. Mere words cannot prove love. Even words from God himself do not prove love. God's words on the lips of the prophets do not prove love. Jesus' words do not prove love. And just when it seemed that God had said all that he was going to say, God said and proved so much more when he tore the veil. Actions prove love, and God proved his by Jesus' death, and that is illustrated by the tearing of the veil. He did not simply pull back the curtain and give us a momentary glimpse. He completely tore it. Doing so proves that he can be and he wants to be known permanently. He lays himself bare, exposed, his heart out there on his sleeve, so to speak, and it's filled with love for sinful man. No one need remain in the dark about who is behind all there is. The veil is torn. The secret is out. The torn veil also means that God has opened up a clear right-of-way directly to himself. Access decreased the closer one got to God in the temple. So did access because of some well-guarded barriers. Almost impregnable walls surrounded the temple proper, complete with strong gates. Portico surrounded the outer courts where the scribes debated and merchants sold. This would be the place where Jesus cleansed the temple. Anyone could be there. The first inner court, slightly raised, was surrounded by a balustrade. A warning was prominently placed there, according to C. Clermont Ganneau, in Latin and in Greek. He found the sign that had on it, during an archaeological dig, that stated that no responsibility could be taken for what happened to any Gentile past this point. Then came the women's court. Only Jewish men were able to go into the next courtyard, and from there, priests only. Into the Holy of Holies, then, one priest, one day a year, was able to go. Such exclusivity would have certain effects on people. The high priest would be seen as close as anyone would ever get to God. People could easily have the impression, stand back, God is not for you, but only for certain ones, special ones, chosen ones. But Jesus' crosswork effectively and irrevocably removed the barriers, making a clear pathway to God. The clear pathway is open to sinners. It's a sinner's highway. The worst sin cannot put up a roadblock ever again because of what Jesus did. The only prerequisite is that we come by way of the cross. Surely the priest scrambled to repair their precious veil, or they're out of a job. That's what all men of religion do. Even churches erect barriers as well as do her members. We often give the impression that before you can enter in, you have to become like us. We may not intend for that to be what's communicated, but oftentimes it is what is communicated. Likely it's true that the most segregated hour in America is Sunday at 11 a.m., but not as the people who say it mean it, as in racism, but in another way. My guess is that these barriers are put up because people think they have to protect something. I mean, what would the community think? We become not as smart as we think we are, but we end up cutting off our nose to spite our face. So-called intelligence and religion often try to close the very road that God opened up to everyone. Who are we to block that road? And God help us if we ever do. A torn veil says to mankind, you can have hope, both now and forever. Hebrews 16 perhaps says it best, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. You hear that? Within the veil, where God is. God's promise is sure. The future of those who enter through the veil are secure. Death holds no fear for them any longer, nor does it have any power over them. That veil has been removed also. We've seen past it for one brief yet clear moment. Even if this life, which is like a veil, makes it hard to see eternity, we can still have hope. We are not merciful toward others in order to receive God's mercy. We are merciful toward others because we have received God's mercy. That removes a veil also. The veil caused by our flesh is removed as well. When we see only flesh, it's difficult to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. It's so easy to get discouraged due to our earthliness, but regardless of what we see, God can and does dwell in those of us who have entered in. The message of the torn veil is very, very clear. God's reason for coming to dwell among men is so that we can dwell with Him. God came to serve the unworthy, supplying hope to everyone. God has shown us who He is and what He's like. Are you willing to see Him like He is, or will you continue to hold to other ideas and notions? Religion didn't change after the torn veil, neither did segregation, worry over death, or searching for the meaning of life. So this must be a personal thing that happens within us to affect a change. Why wouldn't anyone travel the pathway that God has opened up and look to the mercy seat where God is sitting? So much more could be said, but we'll leave it at that. Until I see you next time, Lord willing, this Sunday, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.